Do we have any street racers with us today? I'm not talking about folks who pull up to the stoplight and rev their engines or try to beat the car next to them off the line when the light turns green. I'm talking about honest-to-goodness street racers, people who stake out secluded streets where they can drag race, people who keep the performance shops in business buying turbochargers and NOS and big tires. Street racers. Are there any of those folks with us this morning? Yeah, I didn't think so. But I wanted to be sure. Because now I can say just about anything I want about street racers, and none of you will be the wiser. I'm not a street racer. And I'm not sure I want to be. They can spend a lot of money on those cars, not to mention the time and the risk. Those men and women live in a different world. They speak a different language. They know more about cars and streets and racing than I will ever know about anything. How do I know? The Discovery Channel. Margie and I enjoy watching Street Outlaws. All right, Margie enjoys being with me. So she draws or knits while I'm watching Street Outlaws. But I digress. I like cars. Fast cars, old cars. But I'm not really a car guy. I don't have the knowledge or inclination. But I enjoy watching Big Chief and the rest of the 405 street racers from Oklahoma City do their thing. It's a different world for me. The cars, the male bonding, the fighting, the trash talking, all the stuff that goes on as they try to make their way up the top 10 list. Maybe the best thing is, the masculinity isn't as toxic as you might imagine. On the show, and it would seem on the streets, women are respected as racers. They're equals. One of my favorite street racers is J.J. DeBoss from Memphis. He's got his own show now, Street Outlaws, Memphis. All right, creativity and title is not their forte, but I have to say, I was a little skeptical at first. I wasn't sure JJ could hang with Big Chief and the rest of the 405. But I think I like the Memphis version better. Street Outlaws, at least with the 405, is about conflict. They're all competing to be on top of the list. There are fights, intrigue, and that's all good. It makes for good television. And yes, the 405 comes together when they're competing against other teams, but it's all about conflict. J.J. DeBoss and the folks from Memphis are about family. They don't race against each other. They don't bet against each other, even when they know their guy or gal is probably going to lose. They share their winnings. They share their losses. Somebody's car goes down, everybody else does what it takes to get them up and running again, even if it means their car might not perform as well. They're there for each other. No matter what. One for all for one. The Memphis folks are a team, a family. I've often wondered, how do they do it? How do we get some of that for the church? Now it helps they're from the South, and most of them are probably related. I can say that because my father's side of the family is from the South. But just being related doesn't make you family. It helps. They're a small group with a common purpose. We're about 20 to 30 times their size, so it's not surprising we might have competing agendas or folks on the fringe. As we said last week, people come to church for different reasons. It can be hard to be of one mind and purpose. But even though the odds are stacked against us, does this mean we shouldn't try? The psalmist tells us how blessed it is when sisters and brothers live together in unity. We sing of the blessing of ties that bind our hearts in Christian love. So we know it's possible to share in a deep and abiding communion with each other. We know it's possible to live as a family of faith. We know it's possible to have what the Memphis folks have. How do we get it? Beloved, we spoke of this last Sunday. In the same way the Memphis folks are all in for each other, we have to be all in for each other and for God. Once we make that commitment, we can create the community. This is the question from Believe we're exploring this morning. How do we develop healthy relationships with others? How do we live in communion, not just take communion? How do we become a family of faith? Like spring, Pentecost is a long way off. But in our reading from the Acts of the Apostles, Luke offers us a glimpse of what life was like for those who first believed in Jesus Christ. He tells us on Pentecost, the power of God's Holy Spirit descended and the church was born. Peter takes this magnificent display of God's power as an invitation to preach. Many who witnessed Pentecost and heard Peter's preaching were converted. Luke tells us they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. If you've ever wondered what it means to be the church, this is it. In its purest form, the church of Jesus Christ is made up of people who devote themselves to studying and sharing the good news of God's love in Jesus Christ. We participate in the communion of our family of faith. We offer our prayers and our worship to God. The deeper we go, the more all in we are in our study of God's word and our sharing the good news of God's love, the more we show up and share in the fellowship of our family of faith, the more we live in communion with Christ each and every day, not just taking communion on Sunday morning, the more we devote ourselves to worship, particularly the prayers, the stronger our families, the stronger our family of faith will be. The Bible tells us the more we are faithful in these things, the more our life together will be blessed. The first believers devoted themselves to proclaiming God's word, to the fellowship of faith, communion, and prayer. Because they devoted themselves to these things, the apostles were able to do wondrous and amazing things. Everyone was in awe. Daily, the Lord added to their number those who were being saved. Luke tells us these early believers lived together and held all things in common. Really? All of us living under one roof? We don't even have showers here. But to early Christians, this was simply an extension of their culture. It was common for two or three generations to live together. Now, friends, I'm not suggesting we give our homes, our cars, our boats to the church and all camp out on the narthex floor. But what might it mean for us to go all in for God and for each other? Privacy is idolized over the common good. Loneliness and shame can have devastating consequences. We know these things. Could we witness to a better way? Living together not as private Presbyterians, but as a family of faith. Beloved, what might it take for our life together to be an extension of our homes and our families, where our dinner table is no less the Lord's table than this one? Where this communion table becomes the place our church family breaks bread with glad and generous hearts, praising God and growing in our love for Christ and for each other. What will it take for us to become family? I promise you, when we find out, we will see God add to our number daily those who are being saved. Sisters and brothers, relationships are hard. I don't care who you are. You can be the most popular person in the world. You can be richer than Croesus. You can be Miss Congeniality. You can be the best Christian. It doesn't matter. Relationships are hard. They're hard at home. They're hard at work. They're hard at school. They're hard at church. They were hard for Jesus. They are harder for us. Sometimes we get too close. Sometimes we don't get close enough. We fight over petty things. We are indifferent to things we should be passionate about. We keep secrets. We say too much. We grow cold to those closest to us. We become intimate with those we shouldn't. Our loneliness, shame, and guilt are painful reminders of how hard it is to find and sustain meaningful, healthy, and authentic relationships. Our scars from broken relationships make it harder to make new ones. We may turn to drugs, alcohol, food, the internet to ease our pain. Our insecurity, regret, fear, or guilt can be all-consuming. Beloved, relationships are hard. There's no getting around that. They take courage, perseverance, forgiveness and faith. But as hard as they are, the healthiest, most authentic, most meaningful relationships begin here in worship, where we learn to go all in for God and for each other. Thanks be to God.